Have your attention here in the media center. We are now joined by the pride of Emporia, Kansas, Clint Boyer, driver of the number 14 Haas, 30 years with a VF1 Ford for Stewart Haas Racing. Clint, always great to have you back here at Kansas Speedway. It must feel great for you to be back home.
Yeah, it's always, you know, fun to get back here, especially when you're running well and everything's upbeat and having a ton of fun. So many positive things going on in my world, you know, Stewart Haas, the Ford camp, everything. It's just been a ton of fun from the word go when we unloaded at Daytona. Certainly rolling into Kansas off that momentum and having all that confidence on our side is you know, feels good. So I'm looking forward to the race tomorrow night. Just seems like it's, with the new schedule and everything that we have going on this year, Fridays seem kind of chaotic, and a lot of times coming out of Fridays, you don't really know, you know, what to expect and where you're at as far as, you know, your long run pace, your qualifying stuff and everything else. No, I'm looking forward to qualifying. I think left a little bit out there in practice, and hopefully we can get that tonight, start up front and be good for tomorrow night.
Outstanding. We're going to open the floor for questions. If you have a question, raise your hand. We'll get a wireless microphone to you. We'll start with Kathy, and then go to Todd, and then the postman.
Hey, Clint. Kathy Sheldon with NASCAR.com. How fun is it at Stewart Haas these days, and what makes your team different that you all are just genuinely happy for each other when you all succeed and keep kind of pulling together?
Well, things are finally gelling and working the way they're supposed to work at a multi-car team. Doesn't do anybody any good to have one car running good. You know, having all four cars running well up front for our partners on the side of the cars, our manufacturer, you know, that just speaks volumes about everybody pushing in the same direction and the adjustments we made in the off season and putting a year, you know, under our belts and learning from that, learning these Fords, the aero maps, you know, the Rouchier's horsepower, all the things, all the tools that you use to go to the racetrack week in and week out. We have that year under our belt for our 14 car, the communication, the driver, crew chief communication, our engineers, everybody's just so much more polished this year than we were last year as we were learning. It seemed like last year you're in a different car every week. You never felt like you were sitting in the same car. This year, not only do I feel like, you know, I'm sitting in the same race car, it's responding to the same things. You know, when they have a good aero balance underneath of them, your wedge, your track bar adjustments, your air pressure adjustments, all those things are making sense and clicking for you, and it makes it so much clearer, paints such a clearer picture to make those adjustments and have confidence in your decisions behind those adjustments.
Go to Todd, then to Steve, then to Randy, then to Jeff.
Hey, Clint. Todd Palmer, Kansas City Star. Dale's gone. Dale Jr.'s gone.
He's not gone. He's,
well, I mean,
probably
for our purposes,
I hope that he's cleaning a mess up and replacing a new diaper. That's what I hope he's doing right now.
But he's probably not going to win most popular driver again this year.
He's certainly not going to be the most popular driver.
That's
for sure.
So give me your sales pitch. Why should you be the heir apparent there?
Because he's not. So why shouldn't it be me or anybody else? But the most popular driver, I mean, that's a neat tradition that NASCAR's always done, but I love my fan base. I love the following, the interaction we have on Twitter. It's just a positive vibe and a positive feel. And you know, I appreciate that support. I've had it since, you know, more so in Kansas City area than anywhere. You know, so I'm happy with where I'm at. I don't need a vote or a trophy to understand that. I'm part of a big thing in a big sport in this world. And that's certainly gratifying enough for me.
Does NASCAR need somebody to kind of take that mantle, though, like a Dale, and have that crossover national appeal?
I don't know. I mean, you know, I think that, you know, that character and I don't know, whatever you call it, that figure that we had, I mean, parts of me think that that's positive, and part of me thinks that acquiring that, you know, and having that long-term standing name, whether it's an Earnhardt or an Elliott or a Petty or whoever the case may be, part of me thinks that maybe hurts the next guy along, you know, and building his legacy and things like that. But it is neat that those names are still around. I think that Chase has done a great job of you know, carrying that flag for his family, and certainly Dale did an awesome job of carrying that flag for the Earnhardt name for all those years. Is it right or wrong? Who knows? I don't know. If you dig it, you dig it. If you don't, I hope that you dig your new driver, because they're certainly putting everything out there on the racetrack they possibly can and doing the best they can for you as a fan.
Steve?
Steve Post, Motor Racing Network. Clint, you've talked about momentum on the racetrack, and you certainly have that this year. This morning we got a press release. There's a new sponsor. I see you're actually wearing their hat, IT Savvy. How important is it for a big organization, for Stuart Haas, to not only see the momentum on the racetrack, and maybe that drives it, but to have that momentum with new partners, new people, new employees that you're trying to attract? How important is that momentum off the racetrack?
It is. I mean, momentum is everything. Performance is everything. This is a performance-driven business. It's a performance-driven world. Doesn't matter if you're in business world or you're in the racing world. Really, they coexist in our world. The business behind our world, the partners, the sponsors on the side of these cars that make these cars go around and around are every bit as much of a part of the performance and the success that we have on Sundays as anybody. Certainly, we got things rolling right now. Like I said, it's a lot of fun. The phones are ringing. There's a lot of positive vibe and things going around with the Stuart Haas organization, but our 14 car in particular. You know, we obviously the IT savvy people are here. This is an advantage for us. This is an IT world. It's obviously a business world, Fortune 500 companies all over the place when you look into NASCAR. Where else can you see all these companies in such a tight, confined area, you know, than NASCAR? I remember coming to the racetrack. Nobody even had a computer when we first started. And if they did, it was maybe learning how to comb the internet or something like that. I mean, we use, you know, now, heck, you come into the pits, if the thing's running off, the idle's off, or your pit road speed's off or something like that, you're not getting in under the hood and looking at it. The first thing you do is wait for the IT guy to plug his computer and see what the heck's going on. I mean, that's how things have changed. And certainly, you know, IT Savvy coming on board with us and helping us not only with our equipment, but our technology and our solutions behind all of that is a, you know, a performance gain for us. And it will be for any other business connected to this sport.
Go next to Randy, then to Jeff, then Nick and Claire.
Hey, Clint. Randy Kovitz, KC Star, USA Today. Two questions. Number one, all these years you keep coming here putting so much pressure on yourself to win here, and having gotten the win in your pocket at Martinsville, just how much is the pressure off right now? Really loosen yourself up to win here.
That's right. Martinsville is just a huge release for so many different things. For me personally, for our race team, you know, I mean, it was just a huge sigh of relief. But then you almost won again last week, and we almost rolled in here a two-time winner. But I want nothing more to be able to win in front of my hometown crowd. This is where it all started, right down the road at Lakeside. Everybody knows my story here watching the first race, and I just can't think of a possible way to solidify everything and bring it all back home than to win right here. Won that truck race a few years ago, but it's just, you know, to be able to roll into victory lane in a cup race, I don't even know if you'd find me in victory lane. I don't know where you'd find me.
But there's a difference in your mental approach now than it's been when you were trying to end that streak for so many years.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, again, your confidence level is you know, through the roof right now for our race team, myself. We're capable of doing it. You know, we've proven that. We've got that behind us. It's no longer can they do it. It's when will they do it again. And I feel that way when you get in that race car. It's not, you know, can we win again? It's when we're going to do it and how we're going to do it.
My second subject is the talk about NASCAR possibly being for sale. What would that mean to be under new management? What would you like to see?
Man, I don't know. I think I remain, you know, committed to the future and long-term future of the sport, I think, is what I probably ought to say.
Go next to Jeff and then to Nick.
Jeff Gluck from JeffGluck.com. You got a penalty this week after you had such a great finish at Dover.
Appreciate that, Jeff.
Well, I was just going to
say. Such a positive vibe going on.
How do you?
Was Bob not here? So do you
he's
decide?
He's not, yeah.
Go ahead and do it.
This has been a continuing,
damn it.
A continuing trend where, you know, there's midweek, all these midweek penalties keep coming out. and it takes the focus away every single week off, finishes off the racing and all this talk. Should NASCAR change the way they do these penalties? Should anything different happen so this kind of thing doesn't happen?
Man, I don't know. I mean, everybody has a different opinion on it. They have a tough job. They really do. I mean, you've got a world where the people on the racetrack are as equipped, if not the same, better than what you are, you know, trying to govern and regulate. Tough job to do on the competition side of this sport. The technology is through the roof right now. This is such a simple thing. And when you look at these cars going around the racetrack, you think, just how can it be that hard? But then you start to realize that simple thing out there in a racetrack has an army of people that are fine-tuning and massaging and getting the most out of such a just a confined area. It's just mind-boggling, you know, where it's come. I was in my dad's shop doing an interview this week at home in my car from, like, 06. A Jack Daniels car is still in my dad's shop, and I was looking at it, and I'm like, holy cow. I remember going to RCR and seeing Dale Earnhardt's cars when they were in that museum, and I was walking around there like, how in the hell, how do we get to where we are? Look at that jalopy, you know? And now here I am in my tenure, in my career. I saw where I first started and that first Cup car to where it is now. It's unbelievable. You know, the things that you learn and we come across, and we're scanning our bodies now. I mean, can you, it's so hard to try to govern it all on their side of it, because we're pushing as hard as we possibly can. I mean, mine, we had a part failure. I mean, it broke. You know what I mean? There's nothing. I was upset till I figured that out, and I'm like, well, sorry, guys. You know, take your licks and go on. But, I mean, it's frustrating. It is, you know, when you get to the track and you know, there's so many cars that aren't on the track or whatever the case may be. I mean, it's what the right thing, and if it's in there somewhere in between, I think it is. But at the end of the day, truth be told, they've got a tall order in front of them and an army of people that are pushing it as hard as they can against them.
Nick Bromberg, Yahoo Sports. On the penalty van, let's be a little more positive here. Do you see that? Do you see it when you saw it come out? Do you go, okay, maybe it wasn't so bad that Kevin passed me, because I'm not sitting here worrying about three playoff points?
No, that sucked.
Lost. And right, but now, you know, 20 points, you're still fourth in the points, and you still have the win. You don't have to worry about that.
I wanted the trophy with the car in it, holding my car, not the four car.
Totally understand that.
Because he was trash-talking all weekend long, and I really, really wanted to shut him up and be able to take that trophy away from him. But we're close. Obviously, we've run second. And you never wanted to look up and see, you know, your car in a penalty box or the headline reading something negative. I mean, we have so many positive things going on with our thing. And I know firsthand, mine wasn't. It's listed under the same penalty. But, I mean, all you got to do is go back and look at pictures and see the differences between other cars that had that penalty and mine going around the racetrack. And that's where I put my decision and how I came to ease about it. You know, if we'd have been pushing hard and made it and they were foolish and got caught doing something bad, and I felt like that's how I got that performance advantage and that's why I ran so good last weekend, you feel like you cheated somebody. But I went back and looked at 150 pictures that we have, you know, available to us, and went back and looked at the other guys that had the same problem, and I just didn't see the same result. But fine with the penalty and go on, and looking forward to this weekend.
So, but I mean, even in the sense of you didn't go, okay, I'm glad I don't have to deal with the fact that I lost points from a win, because now, in the grand scheme of things, it may not really even matter.
Nah, the way we're running, we're going to get another win, and it'll be history.
Go next to Claire.
Claire B. Lang, Sirius XM NASCAR Radio. There's a lot of technical companies that are coming into the sport, Savvy, and mm-hmm. Richard Petty Motorsports has a new company that's a sponsor. Is that the current trend? Is that going to help things, not just financially at the company, but come up with technical things that can be advantages?
Well, I mean, that's what I was kind of frustrated about, you know, reading the headlines and stuff this week. That's not what I see going on. I saw Talladega's infield is back the way it used to be. the camping and the infield. It was a beautiful weekend. That's back rolling the way this sport was when I came into it, and I left Talladega thinking this is on track. And then you get home and you're talking about companies wanting to be a part of it, and they're seeing the impact and the opportunity in front of them. They're jumping on board. That's what I see, and I don't see you know, the headlines and stuff that we were writing about this week. I just don't see that impacting me personally and my race team and my organization. I see a lot of positive things. Whether you said, Bubba, you know, having a new IT sponsor, that's the wave of the future. I mean, like it or not, the old school ways of going to testing and looking and trying to figure it out. I mean, we got four cars, and I'm going to tell you, the number one guy, I just told Mike, the number one guy that we can't do without on a race weekend is our IT guy. If he's sick, we're all sick. Then that race car is going to be sick. It's unbelievable how much we lean on that side of things, on the technology side. And you know, we need to be on a leading edge of the equipment. We need to be on a leading edge of the technology. And those solutions behind that is how companies like IT Savvy are going to help us, you know, strive through the future.
And in addition to that, when we're seeing these stories this week, we're not seeing when they're writing about it, about the sponsors that are being added.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be the common line that, you know, sponsors are leaving, but they don't say which ones, and they're not adding the new ones we're seeing, right? So
no,
I don't know if they're getting the whole story.
Yeah, I mean, just some obviously are outweighing others, and I get it all, but there's like I said, there's a lot of good things going on with our sport, and I feel like obviously we're running good, and I can tell you this, I'm gone a hell of a lot more than I was a year ago and even 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I mean, things are picking up in a big way, and that's because of partners and sponsors starting to really pick up around the program.
Finish off here with Lee.
From a personal standpoint, how has your life changed since you left Lakeside Speedway? I mean, what are, like, the biggest, you know, changes in your life?
Still a goofball. Still have a ton of fun at the racetrack. I love coming to the racetrack. I love picking on people and being picked on and racing. The competitiveness of racing is just, you know, I go watch my nephew play t-ball or have friends playing baseball, football players, country music people. I just, the competitiveness of NASCAR is a world like no other. I love it. I love coming to, and that's motorsports in general. Our two dirt late model teams, we're behind right now, trying to figure out how to get better, trying to beat that guy before you to line back up this weekend. I mean, just being able to see your hard work and your dedication Monday through Friday, start showing up at the racetrack over the weekend, there's nothing like it. That feeling of satisfaction and gratitude, I've never had anything that even remotely comes close to that. Pulling into victory lane again this year with your family, that's what's changed. You know, family, the reasons that I wanted to be in victory lane weren't really selfishly just because I wanted to have a beer with my buddies. I wanted my boy in victory lane. I wanted that picture on our wall. I wanted him to experience that, and I want to do it over and over and over because I want them to be a part of that. That's the biggest thing that's changed to me, but personally and probably, you know, everything like that, family's still here. This is still home for us. Grandma's coming. My brother's here. Still pretty normal business as usual, just like it was at Lakeside.
Casey Kane sometimes gets in his cars to try to help his dirt team figure out what's going on. Do you ever do that from time to time to give them?
Well, I had to sponsor him in Talladega. We flew him down to the Devil's Bowl, and he run really well. He won his heat race, and I think he either won the dash or run second, and I don't get a chance to race my cars anymore. To be honest with you got to do it. Just like anything else, just like our world. It'd be like Donnie Schatz or Scott Blomquist getting in a cup car and trying to line up with us. I mean, these kids have grown up doing it and everything else. You just can't beat the experience. They can run fast. They can post a big lap. But putting 500 miles together is a whole different story. Making the mistakes, you know, on pit road, there's just so many different things that make up success on any given Sunday in our world or Saturday night. But that's the biggest thing with the late model world. If I showed up and tried to line up with those guys, A, I wouldn't make the feature. I'd probably crash, and I'd be super bummed out. That's facts.
Well, Clint, thanks for taking the time to join us. Good luck the rest of the week.
Thanks, guys.